So we're going to continue with the theme of building our relationship with Jesus Christ and not performing a religion. And then also Jesus is the answer. So we've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to continue to share the gospel with others. So church, I want to encourage you to continue to focus on Jesus in your daily walk. Building our faith in Jesus Christ through prayer and being in His Word, and then sharing our testimony with others, which helps strengthen our walk with the Lord, because as we get to share what God has done in our lives, it helps encourage others. I want to share several scriptures with you that you could just go from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible, and you could see scriptures pointing to Jesus' life, His ministry here on earth, and His death and resurrection, and then also His soon return. So I want to share all that God has been showing me through studying His Word. How do we share with others? So some examples of Jesus coming to this earth, His death on the cross for our salvation and our sins, paying the price, and His resurrection as well. But first, beware of false teachers in these last days. So turn with me to Matthew 24:1-14. Matthew 24:1-14. And Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple here. In verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Verse 3 speaks a little bit about the signs of the times and the ends of the age. It says, "Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.'" Verse 7, "For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So it's interesting, later in that Matthew 24:36, no one knows the day or the hour. So He says in verse 36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father only." So if we review those scriptures, it sounds a lot like today, right? And that's Jesus talking about what the future was going to hold for believers, and how deceivers were going to come into the church and even out on the streets and try to deceive others with the false doctrine or false prophets. So we're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, is how do we witness to others in our circle of influence, or our sphere of influence. So I want to encourage you to continue to learn about our foundation, our faith in Jesus Christ, to continue to share the good news. And more importantly, don't get discouraged in these end times. Whenever you're sharing God's word with others, don't expect their life to be transformed. Many times we get discouraged. God has His perfect timing for their life. So continue to share with them. And even when you don't feel that the opportunity is right, just as Tina was sharing earlier, pray, "Lord, show me the door, open the doors, and I'll walk through." So that's all you have to ask, is be prepared with the gospel, and the Lord will bring people to you. Let's review a little bit about relationship with Jesus Christ versus a religion. And each week I've been adding different ideas about how do we walk with the Lord. So Christianity is not a religion. It's a life lived out loving others through the love of Christ. So God showed us his love. We're to show Jesus to others. As a result of living for Jesus Christ, you're going to have a life that's blessed more than you could ever imagine. If we desire what God has for us, then if our plans line up with his, then the outcome's going to be the Lord's anyway, and he'll bless us. So religion could only reform a person, while relationship with God through Jesus Christ transforms a person. So religion reforms, but a relationship with Jesus Christ transforms. So speaking of that relationship, it's surrendering our life and everything we have to the Lord. Religion's trying to figure out what our life should be like and how should we live it. But when we submit to the Lord, he gives us the direction through his word. So again, relationship with God is built on love, not merited by what we've done, but only what God has done for us. 1 John 4:19 says this, "We love him because he first loved us." So everything that we do is in response to what the Lord has already done for us. And it's amazing that, I mean, I could even stand here and talk about God's word. Any one of us could look back years before Christ and say, where would I be right now if it wasn't for the Lord in my life? So share that with others. Yeah, we may look okay and good on the outside when we walk into church, but do remember what we were like 10 minutes ago or even 30 minutes ago or, you know, how about 10 years ago? Before you're walking with the Lord. So share that with others. So if you remember Saul on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and he became Paul the Apostle. So let's look at that. When you have a relationship with someone, you cherish the time that you spend with them, right? If you have a relationship with somebody that's a positive relationship, you want to communicate with them. And if you have a good or a great relationship with somebody, you want everyone else to know about it, right? And if we have a really great relationship with someone, you're willing to sacrifice for them too. So think about that as we walk with the Lord. What's our relationship like? Are we sharing the Lord with others? Are we sacrificing for the Lord? So on Saul's road to Damascus, he knew the Bible. Saul knew the Bible, and he even taught the Bible, but he didn't know God who wrote the Bible. So Saul's encounter with Christ gave him a relationship, and that changed him to Paul, and he became Paul the Apostle later. But Paul moved from killing Christians to sharing God's love and his teachings with Gentiles, the non-believers. So he moved from killing Christians to sharing Jesus Christ and asking others to join Jesus on his walk. In Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew, but also the Greek." So everybody has this opportunity to know Jesus. We just have to introduce them. If we have a relationship with God, we want to cherish the time in his word. Romans 1:1-4 says this, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." So you want to be in the Holy Scriptures so we know how to be like Jesus Christ. We have to be in his word and we have to pray. So verse 3 in Romans 1 says, "Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." So think about this. Some Bible scholars say that there's over 350 prophetic scriptures that there was 350 prophetic scriptures or prophecies of Jesus in the scriptures that Jesus fulfilled in his lifetime. 350. Circumstances such as his birthplace, lineage, and method of execution were beyond his control. So Jesus, those weren't in his control as coming down to the earth and he could not have accidentally or deliberately fulfilled them. So he had to, as he was living his life, the plan that God had for him, he fulfilled those scriptures and those prophecies. The books of the Old Testament contain many passages of the Messiah. All prophecies of Jesus Christ have been fulfilled. For instance, the crucifixion of Jesus was foretold in Psalm 22, 16, and 17, 16 through 18, approximately 1,000 years before Christ was born. So they are prophesying about his crucifixion 1,000 years before he was born, and long before the method was even used as an execution style. And after Jesus' resurrection, followers began to declare officially that Jesus was the Messiah. In Acts 2:36, the Bible says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So those are all scriptures that we could share with individuals. And first of all, we have to share with ourselves. We have to learn and be led by God's Spirit. And as we begin to understand it and believe it, then we could share it. As we begin to live it, then we could share it. So there's 66 books in the Bible. I want to look at, there's 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. So I did a study on several scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So I wanted to share several of those with you. And these are just some that you could look at and say, okay, this is Jesus in the Bible. He's being foretold in the Bible in this verse. This is his ministry in this verse. This is his promise of eternal life for us and his soon coming. So these are all verses that you could share with individuals. Starting in Genesis 3:15. "And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In Exodus 12:21, speaking of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, verse 21 says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb.'" So even in Exodus, they're pointing to Jesus. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And that's Jesus' sacrifice, his death and resurrection. And he's paid the price for us. In Numbers 24:17, it says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult." So that's again pointing to Jesus back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 18:15 says this, "A new prophet like Moses," so pointing to Jesus as a prophet, "the Lord our God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." So people rejected Jesus at times, but there were some people that did follow Jesus. So back in Deuteronomy, there was prophecy about Jesus. In Joshua 5:14-15, Jesus, the captain of our salvation. So Joshua 5:14-15 said, "So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." So are we answering the call? Are we asking, "Lord, what do you have for us? What are you asking us to do?" Do we have to wait till things get so bad in our lives to say, "Lord, what do you have for me now?" Right? So let's just stay focused on the Lord. In Judges 2:18, it says, "And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge." So the Lord's going to deliver you. Are we willing to accept what he has for us? So speaking of judges, in Revelation 19:11 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So that's speaking of Jesus. So that's several Old Testament scriptures. Here's one about Jesus as our high priest, 1 Samuel 2:35. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. So even back in Samuel, Jesus was being foretold. In Ezra 1:3, it says Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. So this was talking about temple restoration at this time, and God brings the exiles back to Jerusalem and directs that the temple be rebuilt for sacrifice, right? So Jesus, our ultimate sacrifice. Ezra chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with you, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem." So again, he was asking them to build a temple so that they could have the sacrifices again, and Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice, died on the cross for our sins. Job 19:25, and you read Job and you could see his life. He was a man after God's heart, but he was tested and tried. Job 19:25 says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." So again, Jesus lives. He's coming back, so let's be ready. Amen. Psalm 110:4 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus, again, is our high priest. Proverbs 8:23, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." So again, some religions question Jesus coming to this earth, or is Jesus God. So Proverbs 8:23 says, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." Revelation 22:13, also speaking of Jesus, says, "The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So there's no question, as you look at God's word, it's pretty clear. We just have to dig in and we have to share. Here's a really good one in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1:1-2. It's really talking about what we can do apart from the Lord doesn't mean anything. So it says this, "The vanity of life." Verse 1, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." But there is satisfaction if you live your life for Christ and if you have Christ as your Savior. Ecclesiastes 2:11 says this, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." So again, if anything that you do apart from the Lord, there's no true value in it. So seek the Lord first, and then follow what He gives us direction doing. Song of Solomon 6:3 says, this is discussing the relationship between Christ and His church. Verse 3 says, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." In Revelation 21:2, speaking of the same area or incident, it says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So church, we are the bride of Christ. So let's act like that. Let's be adorned. Let's have God's word so that we can share with others. I keep repeating that, but I mean, I think after 3 weeks, you guys, hopefully we got that, right? Be in God's word and share with others. So let's move a little bit into Jeremiah 23:5-6. And I know these are a ton of verses, but we'll probably put it on the website. I did 66 verses, and I'm not going to share all of them with you tonight, but one from every book of the Bible that points to Jesus. So Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. Lamentations 3:25 and 26. So I can't remember the last time I read this verse, but this study really helped drive it home. Lamentations 3:25 through 26, it says, Jesus is our salvation. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So just because you don't feel God's answering your prayers right now, keep praying. He's going to answer them. Daniel 9:24, speaking of Jesus coming back as well. So Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make the end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So again, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. Hosea 13:14, talking about Jesus is our Redeemer. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. So again, Jesus our Redeemer. So if we look at Nahum 1:3 is talking about Jesus the judge. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. So again, we might think that people are not getting judged. You know, we might be wondering, okay, why does it seem like the wicked are prevailing or they're doing well? Don't worry, because it's not your battle. Jesus is going to be the final judge. So you keep praying, keep seeking the Lord, and keep sharing the Lord. Here's one about people, and they're praying, and they're wondering, and God's not answering, but here's Habakkuk 1, verse 2 and verse 5. So the prophet's question, it says this, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. So that's us, right? We're like, okay, Lord, when are you going to hear me? And then the Lord's reply in verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. So again, we have been told Jesus is coming back. We've been told that he died on the cross for our sins. Do you believe? And if you do believe, are you sharing that with others? Are you trying to help others believe that as well? Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So that was several scriptures in the Old Testament. I just want to share a few in the New Testament and then we'll close up. But this is like a whirlwind, right? A whole bunch of scriptures, but they're pointing to the one true God. And if we want to live for Christ, we have to know him as and his word as a foundation. Matthew 1:18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Mark 1:9-11 says, It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And John 3:16, everybody's seen this in football games and sporting events, and we may even have it memorized, but this is the power of God. So John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In our theme verse for the last few weeks, John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those are all great scriptures to share with others, but also to have in our own hearts to remind us when times are tough, Jesus is not going to leave you or forsake you. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. So God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we answered the call. Jesus is calling now, many people are not answering. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with him. So again, the promise of eternal life. And this is speaking about Ephesians 2:10, speaking about how the Lord is not done with us. He's continually working on our hearts and working on us as his workmanship. So it says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So don't be surprised when you start serving in the church or even outside the church doing outreaches, and you start to see activities that you are drawn to naturally. That's the Lord. He's already working in your heart and in your mind. You just have to be willing to accept the task or the role that he's given you, because it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So you can't do anything. You can't stop it. If the Lord's in it, you've got to go for it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's continually working in us. You can't stop it. You could ignore it. You could deceive yourself and not follow it, but God's going to continue chasing after you. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So that's Paul the Apostle, but you could say Richard as well, right? So we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So again, if you see the whole theme, God is working out a specific plan, a perfect plan for your life. James 1:21 and 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we have to hear the word and we have to share the word, but we have to do what God is asking us to do through his word. 1 John 1-7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all of our sin. So it's amazing as we go through God's word, how it's a tapestry. It's like a cloth that your life, there's strands in your life, there's activities that you've done and worked through, and there's things that are to come, but God is building a beautiful workmanship in your life. So Jude verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Because that's what the final picture is, eternal life with Jesus and God in heaven. Revelations 22:12 says, Jesus testifies to the churches, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So again, we're not saved by works, but because Jesus loved us first and we love him, and our activities and our works should be out of love and adoration for Christ and for God. So that's a lot of scripture. So thank you guys for listening. In closing, though, let's talk a little bit about what God has empowered us to do. So as children of the one true King, he doesn't ask us to do anything else but simply lay our lives down for him. And if we can just do that, which is very tough because we want to do things for ourselves. So, but he just asks us to do that. And once we lay down our life, he blesses you abundantly. God wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. So draw near to him through his word, through prayer, and through sharing some of these scriptures with others. God did what we couldn't do ourselves. So our sins separate us from God, and we couldn't do anything about that. We continue to sin now, but Jesus' blood has covered our sins. Because God loves us, sin has to be punished, but he sent Jesus to die in our place. and he's risen from the dead. So today is the day of salvation. So please, if you guys want to know the Lord more, continue to pray and ask other believers around you to pray with you. If you don't know the Lord already, today is the day of salvation. And Jesus extends the invitation to everyone. Revelations 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.'" Let him who hears say, "Come," and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So it's not forced upon you. The Lord's calling you, but you have to answer the call. Revelations 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So that's Jesus inviting us to eternity with him. So again, if you guys want to share your testimony with others, these are some great verses to look at, and just do your own study. You know, God's already working in your life the message that he wants to share. His story is your story. So just share with others. So that's all. I want to encourage you again, continue to pray, be in fellowship, and challenge each other to be the salt and light of this earth. Thank you, guys. Let's pray.